lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 105, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. My end, Lord, make me know, my days, how soon they fail. And to my thoughtful spirit show, how weak I am and frail. 105, stanzas 4, 5, and 6.
We ask your attention for the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 16. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that, when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him, and said unto them, and he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing and decreeing God, nothing is taking place outside of thy providence, and thou dost also govern everything to a certain determinate end, fulfilling thy purpose, so that it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of thy law to fail. And thou knowest all the things which have also taken place in the week that has gone by. And thou knowest another family that is cast into mourning, wherein there is now an empty chair, wherein there is now an empty bed, an empty place, and they can never get it back again. O Lord, we ask thee that thou may remember them in thy mercy, each and every one of that family, and others that do experience the same. And we have heard it all our life long, and she herself had heard it last Sabbath day, and that once again thy word that had gone out also to her, and she as we, as still we do not believe that it shall ever come unto us. And now almost 7 days, already in eternity, and there no time, O Lord, look upon us. How shall it ever come into our hearts that we would be given to believe, that we would be given faith, that we might know for our own heart that heaven and earth that will pass away before one tittle of thy word shall fail. Oh, that thou may bring it home unto us. Oh, Lord, we are helpless in this. We cannot apply thy word. As shall also a death be for our salvation. It will only harden us. It will only make us colder. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, for thy Holy Spirit, and that thou wouldst go in and out among us as a congregation, and that thou wouldst speak unto us. Oh, that thy Spirit may be unto us the power of thy word, and that thou may give that word a place in our hearts, and that we might learn to stay awake in the night, or that we would have our rest taken away from us, and that the things of eternity may be bound upon our hearts, not only of those who must die, but also of those who can die. And then we all must die. O Lord, that thou thyself may come then, and leave not this awful calling to be without fruit, to be without a blessing amongst both young and old. O give our youth and our children tenderness about thy holy word, and that they may also learn not to sin, and that they might see and feel, and that there is one thing that is needful, and that they must be reconciled unto their Maker. May it be in the days of their youth, and that it might be bound upon their hearts, and that they might receive an inner chamber while they are yet young, and that thou wouldst hear a child cry, and for thou hast taken the infants into thy arms, and thou hast said unto those mothers, and also to thy own disciples, suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. O Lord, we have Moses and the prophets. If we hear not them, we will not hear, though one rose from the dead. O, then we have a treasure that this world does miss, but we see not the beauty of it. We see not its preciousness until thou wilt open our eyes for it. Then it will become life unto us. Then it will become that wisdom that never passes away. O Lord, we ask of thee also that thou mayest bless thy word when it is preached and when it is read among us, and when it goes forth to many places yet in this world, that thou may give it a place in the hearts of men, and that the callings that do come on every side may also be found in thy holy word as an explanation of the cause of our death, the cause of our wretchedness, the cause of our misery, the sin of our life. O Lord, that we might see as a world that thou hast indeed created us, that we are not as an animal, and that dead is not dead, and that we have to appear before our Maker, and that from him that sitteth upon the throne to him that groaneth in the prison, and that there might be a turning again unto thee, the true and the living God. Wilt thou look on us as a congregation, as a denomination, and as a community also in this area? O Lord, help and give that thy word that is brought unto us and that has been blessed unto our fathers may also be blessed unto us, their children, and that thou may give that truth that they have brought in years gone by may be precious to us as parents and as children, and that we may be given to warn and to instruct one another while it is still a day of grace. Remember all that mourn. Remember all that are sick, known and unknown unto us. For thou knowest their place. And we think also of that mother in her weakness that has not for a long time been able to come unto thy house, lying upon her bed each and every day. and a body that becomes weaker and weaker. Oh Lord, she is not so old, but her days, they are numbered. Oh, we ask of thee that thou may also give her a little visit from above, that that which she may still read in her weakness, that it may be sanctified, and that she may testify once again how that she is not a stranger of thee and of thy work. Lord, look on all the afflicted, and because death, and that is so far away from us, until we receive a message, O Lord, that thou may supply for those that are afraid, and that thou may give them also a place, that they might know that peace that passes all understanding. And wilt thou look upon us in this hour, and give us strength for this labor, and give us thy spirit in a rich measure, and give unto us clarity, and that the children and the youth, they may also be given to understand, and that there may be an eternal blessing in store, and from the greater storehouses of Joseph, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 113, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How blessed the man who thoughtfully the poor and weak befriends, deliverance in the evil day to him Jehovah sends. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 113. Thank you. Beloved congregation, we are traveling to eternity. The Bible that speaks about preparing for that eternity. Are we doing this? What have we done in the week that is now gone by? And when the calling has once again come to our community, what have we now done that we may prepare for eternity? And when we have done nothing in the week that has gone by, what will it take that we will begin? The Lord, He gives us time to prepare. The Lord, He also gives us the materials that we might prepare for that eternity. They have, we read, Moses and the prophets. And the Lord, He has also given us goods, that is, money, to prepare. You say, money, must we then buy it? No. And yet the Lord, He has spoken about it here in the chapter in which we have read. That did not please the Pharisees well. We can read that here. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things and they derided Him. They were covetous. They wanted more and more of this world's goods. Do we want more and more of this world's goods? What profit does that do us? Because the rich man, he also died. And the Lord Jesus and the Lord Himself in His law, He condemns covetousness as against His law, but it lies within our nature. And yet you have let so much of it go. That is, in your donations that you have given throughout the year and Thanksgiving Day, that is so very, very commendable, as we can read it in our bulletin. That the Lord has given that our congregations, they may do. But these Pharisees, they are offended. They are offended by the words of Christ. And now we ask you, do the words of Christ anywhere in the Bible, did you ever read the Word of God? And were you ever offended by it? You will not say it, children, it will not come out of your mouth, I think. But maybe in your heart that you say, I do not like it. What is written there in that Word of God, then you have to take heed. Because then there is something wrong. There is not something wrong in that Word of God. But then there is something wrong in our heart. We wish with the Lord's help to consider this portion with you that was read. That is Luke 16, the first 12 verses. And we will read only at this time the 8th verse. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So far, our text. The parable of the unjust steward. First, an account required. Second, an action commended. And third, an instruction enjoined. The parable of the unjust steward. First, an account required. Second, an action commended. And third, an instruction enjoined. So, in the first place, an account required. Where do we read that? We read that in verse 2. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. And he called him. That was, he had to appear before him. He says, I want to speak to you. You do that sometimes too to your friends, right, young people? Then you will call one another because you want to speak to one another. And if your mother will answer the telephone, and she will say, there is someone on the phone for you. They are calling you. And you will say, Mother, Father, who is calling? Why do you ask such a question? Who is calling? Well, you say that makes a difference. Who is calling, right? Because what is my relationship to that person who is calling? Who is it? Is that a friend who is calling? Who wants to speak to me? Or is that someone else that is calling? Who wants to speak to me? Oh, how would it be in your heart if it was, young people, the police, and they were on the phone, and they were asking mother or father, I want to speak to your son, I want to speak to your daughter, and you say, mother, who is calling? Yes, son, daughter. It is the police. Who is calling here in this verse? It is called here the Lord, not the Lord in heaven, but he is a Lord over another person. Thus, this man, he is called a steward. What is a steward? A steward is one that is taking care of someone else's things. They are not his own things. They do not belong to himself. Children, do you ever have to take care of other person's things? Maybe you have something to take care of for your older brother or your older sister sometimes. Or your mother, she says, child, will you take care of this for me? Will you watch over it? Will you make sure that it does not get lost, that it does not get wrecked? Then you are also a steward. That is what we hear this man. He was a steward. When you have a job, young people, then you are also a steward. You are a steward of the time of your employer. And of all of his goods, how do you take care of his time? Do you waste his time? How do you take care of his goods? Do you take care of those goods just like those goods were your own? What do we read here? And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. He had not taken care of them. Someone had said to that Lord, that man that is working for you and caring for your goods, he does not care so much about your goods. He is a lazy man. He is a man that has left those goods open to the thieves and to to everyone that would do you harm. But who is speaking here? That is the Lord Jesus himself. Then he speaks not only about the things of this world, but he is speaking about higher things. He is speaking about spiritual matters. Thus he speaks about the Lord. And he speaks to us as stewards. And thus we are also stewards. And we have so much from the Lord. But the question is, what do we do with all of this that we receive that is from the Lord? Because we read that this steward was accused of wasting his Lord's goods. Thus, all the goods that we have, they are not our own, but they are the Lord's. He has made us and them for a purpose, that we may do something with all of those goods that is all for him. Then he desires to honor himself, and he gives us so many things also for our own good and for our own comfort. But now, is there ever an accusation that comes against you in your mind, in your heart, that says, I have wasted my Lord's goods? That I have wasted and that I am wasting. Does that ever accusation ever come to you, young people? When you go in this world to do things that you know are against the Word of God? Or even if you do not and the Lord keep you from it? And then all the things are lawful that you may do in this world. Does it yet ever come as an accusation in your heart, in your young life, that you say, my whole life that is not lived for the Lord? Then I go to the house of the Lord and I read the Bible and I pray, but my life that is not actually for the Lord, that everything that I receive, I actually am wasting those goods that the Lord has given to me, time. That is one of the most precious things that we receive from the Lord. How much do we get? The Lord, he says, take care of it. It is from me, time. And he gives to some a little more than he gives to others, but in general, not much. Remember, we had spoken about those that have lived for almost 1,000 years lately. And now us, now we get at the most 80, 90, and if we become very old, 100 years, or maybe we only live to be 18 years old. What a precious few years then are those years that the Lord has given unto a person to live in this world. And what now have we done with that precious gift of the Lord? And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? How tender. How tender that the Lord was when he came unto his steward. Then it is just as if you can hear the Lord himself weeping, that the Lord himself is grieving. Then he says unto that steward, he says, my steward, oh, I have entrusted unto you something, something so very, very precious. It was my own. Did I not give you everything that was necessary that you may take care of these things and that you may be a steward on my behalf? How is it? How is it? How can that be now that I have so blessed you above measure Oh, my steward. Then you can hear it is as if the Lord, he would plead with this steward. But that tenderness, that is not slackness. No. He says, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. He brings it to an end. He says, now those things that I have given to you, I am now going to give them to someone else, because you have not taken care of those things the way that you ought to have taken care of them. And I will now see what this person will do with those things, so that everyone in his turn, as he is using everything that he is being given here upon earth, he must appear to give an account of unto the Lord of his stewardship. Young people, that calling that is coming in such a special way to you in these days, in these months, how serious is that calling? Do you ever ask now, how can these callings, how can they have fruit in my life? Do you ever feel something, young people, of the hardness of our heart? How that we do not hear these callings? Or how quickly the Lord says to you that your stewardship can come to an end, that all the things that I gave to you, I'm now going to take away from you. Thou mayest no longer be steward. And I am now going to give them to another person. Parents, how serious is this calling? These callings that are coming unto us, because also our children, who we love so dearly and who are given unto us out of that hand of the Lord, they are also given unto us as stewards. Then we are to care for them. Then we are to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. How is that with us as parents? Oh, how quickly, just in one moment, then the Lord, he is able to say to us, thou mayest no longer be steward. Now I take this daughter, now I take this son away from you. And then we will have to look back. And what will we say of our own stewardship more? What will the Lord say of our stewardship concerning our own dear children? Do not dismiss this. Do not think lightly of this. Because the devil, he came to Adam. And he said to Adam, young people, he said, can you imagine? Can you imagine if you did not have to give an account? Can you imagine if you would be your own God? If there was no one above you, no one telling you what you had to do, that there was no law but your own law, that you never had to stand before God, that you never had to give an account? Then you would be free, Adam. Was that true? No, it was not true. Because Adam can imagine what he will, and the devil can tell him what he will, and still the Lord came. The devil cannot take away that reality. He can only lie to him. And then the Lord came and he called. He called him. And he said to him, give an account of thy stewardship. And now, young people, Satan is the same as ever he was. Do you know what he says in your heart? Do you ever have that in your heart? Do you know what the devil says? You look at that dead body, and the devil says to you, that is dead. That is dead. There is nothing afterwards. Man, he is just like the animals. He comes from the animals, they say today. There is really no difference. Just a further evolution. And when you die, there is no account that you have to give. That is the lie of the devil. But the devil cannot take away the reality. The scriptures are full of this. And not only the scriptures, but the conscience of a dying man. Or then there have been people that have died with an open conscience. And then they have feared so, because in the end of their life, then they saw so clearly that they had to give an account before God of their stewardship that will be required. We see in our second thought an action commended. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. What shall I do, he asks, when I am put out of that stewardship? That is a good question. What shall I do? It would have been better if he had asked the question before. But it's certainly a good thing that he asks that question yet now, because he is late. But it is not yet too late, because he is not yet put out of that stewardship. Do you hear it? What the Lord Jesus is saying? Are we late? Have we wasted our Lord's goods yet? Are we not yet put out of that stewardship? Then here is an action, he says, that is commendable. What does he do? Well, he takes measures. We read here, he takes measures to protect himself and to take care of himself. What is he concerned with? Well, he's concerned with the fact that he is afraid that he won't have anywhere to live. Do you understand that, boys and girls? The place you live, your father, he is working. And if he loses his job or his business, then you say, well, then we cannot have this house, this beautiful place maybe. We have to find a little something smaller or there are many people in the world, they are homeless, no place to live. Put out of that stewardship. He is concerned about this. Then he says, who is going to take me in that I can live with them? Then he says, I'm going to need friends. Because maybe if I have friends, then those friends, they will say, come in and you can live with me. What does he do? You know the parable. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. So what does he do? He begins to make friends. Do you have friends? He tries to make friends of the servants, of the debtors of his Lord. What does he do to make those friends? Well, he reduces their debt. If he reduces their debt, he says, you don't owe so much. Well, then they will say, thank you very much. Well, you are such a friendly man. When he was a wicked man, he was a wicked steward. We read that he had wasted his Lord's goods. And what is he doing now? Well, now some say that before he overcharged them on their rent. And then he has taken that money unto himself. And now he corrects it. But he does that in his own name, as if it is all from himself, and as if he is such a good and friendly person. That is a possibility. There is another possibility, that before he had charged them in the right way, but now he says to them, you don't have to pay so much anymore. Thus, he steals from his Lord without his Lord knowing it. And he does that all for himself in order that he may make friends with these debtors of his Lord. That is so that man, he has stepped on his conscience so many times that it does not speak anymore. Have we done that too? Every time that we waste the Lord's goods, then next time, then it is becoming easier and easier. And yet the Lord, he will bring every work, we read in the Bible, he will bring every work into judgment. Therefore, it is so surprising here that we read that these actions of this man, they are commended. We would think that the actions of this man, they would be condemned. But we read, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Thus, for what does his Lord commend him? Does he commend him because he was unjust? Does he commend him because he was wicked? No, for that we may never commend a person. But we read, he commended him because he had done wisely. What was that wisdom that this man had done? Well, he had taken care of his own future. He was looking to his future. He says, what is that future going to be for me? And then he was thinking in his mind, how am I going to prepare for this future when it does not look so very good? What does Solomon say? He says, a prudent man, he foreseeth the evil. He sees it coming. He sees it beforehand. He foreseeth the evil and he hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. They are not looking at the future. They're not thinking about the future, what could come. And so they just go on. Here is a prudence. The Lord himself, he is calling this wise. And this is a prudence and a wisdom that so much of this world is filled with. The men, they are looking, how shall we, if something happens, How shall we make sure that we are okay? How are we going to prevent a bankruptcy? How are we going to make sure that when we would retire that we have lots and lots of money? Here is a wisdom that the Lord Jesus, he says, the world has. But he says, is so often missing in the church. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of men. What does the Lord Jesus say? Here is now something that the church needs to learn from the world. From the world. He says, I see this concern in the world. But where do I see that same concern for spiritual matters? Where do I see that same concern for the need of our soul? Then we see this one, and we see that one, young and old. They are falling. They are falling all around us, one after the other. And the Lord says that wisdom, that is not there. I see it in the world. No, that is not the true wisdom in the world. That is the wisdom after their generation or in their generation. It has to do with the worldly things. But that is now the wisdom. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. The Lord laments the lack of this wisdom among the children of light. Who are the children of light? Well, in the first place, that is the visible church. Because the Lord, he has given light. Light in that visible church. What is that light that he has given? He has given his own word. He has held that word before us. And in that word, then there is something shining. Did you ever see something shining in the word of God? The Lord, he gives light from that word. And for that word, every word that is in that holy book, we shall have to give an account. Do you ever think about that, young people? Children, you see your neighbors, the boys and girls, and they're playing, and young people, they are allowed to do this and they're allowed to do that. Are you jealous of them? Say, I'm not allowed to do that. And I wish my father, I wish my mother. Oh, maybe you say, I wish I had a different mother. I wish I had a different father. Because they are too strict. But do you know something, young people? You have to give an account. And your father and your mother, they have to give an account. That those people, your neighbors here, they do not have to give an account. Because they don't have that same truth. They don't have that same light. And we are responsible for that light that is coming to us. If a man, he is in the darkness, he cannot see what is around him. He has no knowledge that that is there. Well, for that, he is not accountable. But for those who have that light, they must give an answer when they are called, and when the Lord, He is coming to say, give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Here are now all the things that I have given to you, that I have shown to you. What did you do with them? But that is not only the visible church. No, that is also the invisible church. That is also God's true people. Because in them, that Spirit of the Lord, He has shined. And now the Lord, He has to complain. He has to complain about His own church. He says, you see how that this world is seeking their gods. But my own people, they do not seek me in that same way. Oh, how slothful. How slothful is that church concerning also the future. That is, where is the desire of that church, that they might know with that blessed assurance that they are forgiven, that they are justified, that they are safe both for time and eternity. Where is now the concern, as it is in the midst of this world, to establish that future? Where is that now in my own people? Oh, my people. The Lord says, I have given you the greatest gifts. I have given you the highest gifts. I have given you more precious gifts than I have given to anyone in this whole world. I have made you stewards of those gifts. Oh, I have visited you. I have given you light concerning your own state. I have opened unto you in all your poverty and all your wretchedness. Oh, I have opened unto you, even if it is just a little bit, of what free and sovereign grace is. Oh, multitudes and multitudes of people in this world never received such a gift. And yet my church, even like those five wise and those five foolish, not only the foolish, but also the five wise virgins, they slumbered and they slept. Oh, how could the Lord shame His own church more than by saying, as He says here, the children of this world, they are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Let us sing 123, the first stanza. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. Stanza 1 of 123. first an account required. Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Second, an action commended. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Third, an instruction enjoined. And what do we read here? And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. The mammon of unrighteousness. What is that? They are riches. They are earthly riches. It is actually a personification that is making a person out of riches. The mammon of unrighteousness, gold and silver in this world, because it is often gotten by unrighteousness, money, the root of all evil, and it is often used in an unrighteous way. Thus the Lord, he is speaking, although they are gifts of God, he is speaking about the gold and the silver in this world here in a negative light. He says that is something that we need to be wary of. Yet he does not forbid us to use it. Just the opposite. Here he speaks about the right use of it. And what does he say? He says, make friends with it. Make friends with it. Make friends of it. Be friends with it. Be friends with the gold and the silver in this world, that the gold and silver should be your friend? No. No, no. He says, make friends by means of it. He says, use it to make friends. That is what the steward did in that parable. He made friends by the use of those riches. How did he do that? Well, he went to the debtors. He went to those who were poor, who owed a lot of money. And he says, I will help you with the money that I have. And now the Lord, he commends this to us. What is that? That is that blessed work of reducing the debt of debtors, of reducing the debt of those who are poor. That is, in the Bible we read, especially those of the household of God. Poverty, what is that? That is a consequence of sin. Poor. The Lord, he has made us rich, wanting nothing. But there are many poor in this world, and along with sickness and death, poverty is one of those consequences of our deep fall. There is none so rich as God. To him belong the cattle on 1,000 hills. And there is no one that is so pitiful to the poor as the Lord is. We read that in the Word of God. David, he says, and we sang that, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will strengthen him on the bed of languishing. The Lord, he will make his bed in his sickness. Those who will take care of the poor. Thus, when we give of our substance to the poor, then we make friends with him. Then he is so very appreciative. And now, that is a blessing. Why? Do you know what it says in the Bible? It says in the Bible that the Lord, He heareth the poor. And thus, young people, when you will make friends of those poor people, and then especially of the household of God, to help them in their afflictions, what will those people, what will they do for you? You must help them, and then you must ask them, man, woman, will you also pray for me? Because you read in the Bible that the Lord, He heareth the poor. Do you know what you are doing then? Oh, then you are looking to the future. But there is more. Because do you know what the Lord Jesus says Himself? He says, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. And thus, for a man to help the poor, that is actually as if the Lord says, then you make friends with me. You make friends with me. And with a cup of cold water. Why is that so significant? What do we read? He says, and I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. When ye fail, what does that mean? That means when you die. When you die, when you fail. He does not say if you fail, if you die. He says when you die. What does he say? He says, man, woman, how long is your life? Your life that is so very short. And you are looking for this world, maybe to have millions and millions of dollars that you may have for retirement. And I know we must be prudent. But how much do we need? And then the Lord, He says, you have all this for this life. And then, when ye fail, then you leave it all behind. He says, it is better if you would do something with those riches. He says, it is better that you would make friends with those riches. Friends of the poor. Friends of the afflicted and the poor people of the Lord, who are not able to pay their bills, who are in great debt. Why? Make friends of them, he says. Because soon you are going to fail. Soon I am going to say, give an account of your stewardship, because you may no longer be steward. And then, where are you going to live? Where are you going to live? Do you think about that? Because we can have a palace to live in here. But when we fail, and when we go to where? When we fail, then where are we going to live? Then he says, then you will need friends that may receive you into their houses. How does that go? Then with that people whose heart God has touched, that they may care for His church here in this world. Then it does not go as it was with that rich man and Lazarus that we heard about. No, he let the dogs lick the sores of Lazarus. But there is another people. Oh, the Lord puts it into their heart. And the Lord, he says of this people, that they will be received into everlasting habitations. By whom? By that afflicted and poor people. And by the Lord himself, they will be there. They will be there. Oh, what shall it be for that people when they are receiving them into those everlasting habitations? They're those poor people. They are going to rejoice at the death of that rich man who has had his heart opened for God's children in this world. And when he may enter in, then there is going to be rejoicing among the saints of God. You say, does the Lord point us back then to a broken covenant? Does the Lord point us back then to a covenant of works? No, that is impossible. He does not speak here about the cause of the salvation of God's people. But he speaks here about the fruits, the consequences, and what he is placing in the heart of his own church. Also, sometimes the rich in this world. And that he is placing it in their hearts to do what? To take care of his people. How does the Lord take care of his people? He said to the disciples, he said to them that they should not take thought for the morrow. The morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Well, how will they be cared for then in this world? Oh, the Lord will care for them. Their bread and their water shall be sure. How? Socialism? The government tax everyone, collect it as a government, and then spread that money so that everybody is equal in the economy. Is that how the Lord takes care of his people? No. The Lord said, the poor ye will have always with you. There will be rich and there will be poor. And now the Lord is urging. He is urging something on those to whom he has given many gifts. And he says, I give you a test. Listen. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Thus the unrighteous mammon. What is that, young people, now? Say that is riches. But then he speaks about here true riches. So the unrighteous mammon, that is not the true riches then. No. The unrighteous mammon, that is the worldly riches. And he says, if you are not faithful in with those worldly riches, I will not give you the true riches. I will test you. I will test you. I'll give you a trial to see if you are worthy of receiving the true riches. The unrighteous mammon, that is not another man's, or that is another man's here. The unrighteous mammon, he says, is that another man's? He said, it's mine. Is that mine? Is that right? Your truck, young people? It's your truck? It's our house? No, he says, the unrighteous mammon, all that gold and silver, that is another man's. It was another man's before you got it. And it shall be another man's soon. Now he speaks about something else. He speaks about something that which shall be your own. Your own. Those are the true riches. And when you die, he says, they shall never be taken away from you. They will be given to you. given to you freely, free and sovereign grace, and they will be yours forever. Oh, congregation, life is short. Life is so short. Young people, life is not sure for one moment. Not for one moment. Could not have imagined as we sat last Sunday here what would happen already on Monday morning. And so we also shall fail. And we are so blessed. We are so blessed with prosperity. And the Lord is going to call us. And he is going to say, give an account of thy stewardship. For thou mayest no longer be steward. This is not the exhortation of a man. This is the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the exhortation of him to whom belongs all the goods in this world. And he says, I say it unto you. He says it unto us, to make friends of that mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they shall receive you into everlasting habitations. Oh, what shall those habitations be? Habitations greater than every habitation that is in this world, that money could possibly buy in this world. Not only the habitations, but who shall be the inhabitants? There will be that poor cripple Mephibosheth. And there will be David, who gave him a place every day at his own table. And there will be that great antitype, who has cared for the poor of his own people, and who has bestowed all the riches so freely that he has bought, that he has purchased, he has given them away out of free and sovereign grace. Why? That he may raise the poor, that fallen world, that fallen people, that he may raise them out of the dust, that he may lift that beggar from the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, yea, even with the princes of his people. Then they will sing. They will sing to the honor and to the glory of him who was not covetous, who turned away his eyes from all that was in this world, and who gave to his church everything, mansions that cannot be bought with gold and silver. But the Pharisees, who were covetous, derided him. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou teach us out of thy word, because we are also covetous. And when we hear these things, then we are no different than those that have derided thee. They would not let it go. O Lord, teach us to number our days, to apply our hearts unto wisdom, to seek for the portion that thou hast laid away for thy people, which thou hast bought with thine own blood, and which thou dost give so freely to take away all their debt, so that there is not one penny for that people to pay anymore. Give us to do good in the midst of this world. And wilt thou forgive all of our many sins? Do bring us safely to our places in this afternoon. Do keep us in the week to come. We lay especially before thee her who will receive surgery in this week when thou wilt give it. And wilt thou calm her in all her fears? And wilt thou make it well above expectation as that great physician? Wilt thou hear the cry of all that family together? And wilt thou remember also those infant twins that are yet in the hospital? Wilt thou bring them home as is hoped in this week? And wilt thou keep us all from disease and from sickness and from a sudden and an unprepared death? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 305, stanzas 3 and 5. The man whose hand the weak befriends, in judgment shall his cause maintain, a peace unmoved his life attends, and long his memory shall remain. 3 and 5 of Psalter 305.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.